Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 297, recorded June 13th, 2016.
Greetings, Aquarimaxers.
Almost said 2018.
That would be...
I almost got way ahead of myself.
Time machine.
Yeah. I don't want to go that far yet. So, we have Mick in Carnforth, UK, Ken in São Mateus, Brazil, Jeremy in Illinois, and Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yes. All right, greetings everyone, and welcome to the show. Do we have any other announcements before we continue?
I don't know, we could tell them about the upside down fish tank that the kids can...
That was crazy.
That was weird. Okay, so we went to Dairy Queen, which is like an ice cream hamburger restaurant here in the States, at least in the Western States. Do they have it back east?
I don't know.
Anyways, they have these fancy thick milkshakes called Blizzards, and they flip them upside down and then back again before they give it to you to tell you how thick it is so it doesn't drip out. You know, look, it's so thick, it doesn't drip out of the cup. And so we were joking about making... The kids were joking about how to make an upside down fish tank, and we said, oh, well, you could get things like upside down catfish, and then you could get some styrofoam
to make the substrate on the top.
Yep,
the superstrate.
Use like the lightweight, like the good stuff or something, and carve aquascaping and plants that will hang down, and then it's all upside down. And I said, yes. And when we feed them, all you have to do is open up the bottom of the tank and sprinkle the fish food in.
And it floats
Russ
magically
didn't
up to
think
the top.
That would work very well, though.
But you can see how everything in our house turns to talking about critters, fish, lizard, something. So it's kind of funny.
Dragons.
Yeah, that too.
So we're not limited by, you know, extant, realistic critters.
No, they can be mythical too.
Yes. Okay, anyways. So Mick says... Hi guys, just listening to the latest show while I was having a coffee break on my way to the pet wholesalers. I have kept a number of crabs and crayfish. I have bred the cobalt lobster, which is a hybrid of a Florida crayfish. I think I have some pictures, which I can send you, or if you want to do an interview, we can set something up.
So I have sent Mick an email. We're going to try to set up an interview. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I also have some pH news, but we'll send that in when I'm on the computers. I am sending this from my mobile phone. Congratulations, Kelly, on keeping the faith by correctly spelling color. Yay! Here in the UK, we are plagued by USA bias spell checkers on computer software, insisting on changing it to C-O-L-O-R.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I also like to spell favorite with the U, too. I just think the O-U is so pretty in words. It's visually
more appealing
than just the O by itself.
Yeah, I think it is. Armor, too.
Yeah.
Stick the U in there.
It looks nice. Like it's missing if it doesn't have the U. Isn't that how you spell it normally? Do they only spell it with an O over
Depends
here?
Depends on where you're in the U.S. spelling. Doesn't have the U in it.
What happened to the U?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, we were settled largely by people from Great Britain, so did they, like, throw out the U along with the Boston Tea Party or something? Throw that extra letter out. We don't have the ink to print it right now. We're too poor. I don't know. I don't know where it went. We should bring it back, though. He says, best fishes, Mick. Not in Carnforth, but on the M6 motorway services car park. I'm glad you were parked when you sent it from your phone. Good job, Mick.
Yep, and we will look forward to doing that interview. That's exciting. We haven't done an interview in a good long time. And never talked a whole lot about crayfish either, so that's...
Yeah.
That's fun.
That'll be new. Okay, who do we have next?
This is Ken in São Mateus, Brazil.
Oh, yes. Okay. He says, hello again, Russ and Kelly. In my last email, I was trying to find a solution to my salty water problem. Water here in São Mateus, Brazil, has a high salt content due to a drought and ocean water backing up the river where a city's water source is. Oh, yes, I remember.
Yeah.
I remember we were talking about that.
Yes.
Okay. Finally, I have a source of good water for my aquariums, not to mention good water to wash our hair, clothes, and other uses. Yeah, it would not be quite so fun to wash your laundry in salt water and then dry it and put it on. That would be really scratchy.
Yeah.
We purchased a large plastic water reservoir and placed it on our porch. We also found a company that delivers clean, drinkable water for free during this drought period. That's nice. The picture shows my wife, Madalena, helping to fill our container. So for now, the water problem is fixed. The fish are happy, or at least they look to be. Brazilian fish only speak Portuguese, and I'm still learning the language, so I can't get an answer from them. And he sent a picture. We can put that up.
And you just ask the fish, you just say, tudo bem?
Tudo bem.
And see what they say. I don't know.
Yes. I do have another question, he says. What do you think about the value of using carbon in an aquarium filter? I've seen some conflicting opinions on this subject and would like to get your thoughts. My tanks only have plastic plants, no live plants. Is carbon worth it, or is it a waste of money?
Okay.
Thanks, Ken.
Well, it depends. And I would say I don't use carbon a lot. Probably because if you do regular water changes, you know, regular partial water changes, you don't really need it except in certain situations. If you're trying to rid your tank of medications, for example, you want to get a medication out of there or some other substance. Yeah, you want to get it out there. You can use the carbon to adsorb those things, and it works well to get certain contaminants or certain things you don't want in your water out. But if you just want to maintain good water quality, carbon's certainly not a necessity if you're doing regular partial water changes. So since you've got plenty of water now, if you feel like you're doing enough water changes, and you really don't have to worry about the carbon, but you know, it does take certain things out of the water. It can help take tints of, like, sometimes organic material in your water can tint your water, kind of a yellowish or amberish color or something. You don't like that, you can take it out with carbon, things like that. So yeah, that's the short version.
So it just kind of depends on what you're trying to do.
Yeah. But if you feel like your water quality is good and you're able to do your water changes, you don't really need to worry about it.
Okay.
Okay. So now we're going to...
who do we have?
Our next couple. Next. We've got Jeremy in Illinois and,
right.
And Jeremiah in Grand Rapids, Michigan. But we're having a little technical difficulty here. I will see if I can get that adjusted really fast. What happened? That's totally weird.
If this was on video, I could put Tiki in front of the camera and she could do a little dance and you would all be entertained during I just did Gwen's thing.
The technical difficulties?
Yes.
Technical difficulties?
Our youngest Gwen, she and her siblings were making a movie on their own. They like to make funny movies together. And at one point in the bloopers, they were having trouble with the camera or something. I don't know. But she said, tentacle difficulties. So sometimes that comes out instead of technical. Okay.
Here we are. This is from Jeremiah in Redbud, Illinois.
Okay. He says, my new setup for my 110, it's called a BioBox, uses plants to filter aquariums like a pond. It also has a 24/7 light that you can set up like the sun. So you just have to do water changes and feed the fish. No canisters to mess with. I'm loving mine so far. Damon from Aquatic Treasures might be a cool guest. He has all kinds of cool things to help keep fish keeping easy, fun, and inexpensive. So we should look that up.
Yeah.
Did he get this tank from him, or is that unrelated?
This setup is from him, I think, is what he said. Or that's what is implied. So, yeah, and we'll put the pictures up if we can get them to work. They're no longer working. They were working, but they're not working now. But pictures of
they'll
the setup.
They'll work on a different device.
And it seems like it's an aquaponics kind of tank where the filtration is aquaponic, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But it's a... so I would like to see that. So it's a 110-gallon tank with this BioBox. That's a cool idea. So we'll put that up, the pictures up, and we'll try to look up this Damon at Aquatic Treasures and see if we can set up an interview. I think that would be cool. All right. So now, on to Jeremiah.
Okay.
In Grand Rapids, Michigan.
And he says, update, house stuff continues, bump, bump, bump. But what I really wanted to talk about is that my last guppy died. I'm fairly sure it was age because it had been looking a little worse for the wear for the last few days. Anyway, now my 20-gallon extra tall has one lone neon and a nerite snail. I shouldn't leave them out. The neon doesn't come to the top much, mostly flits around. I have some concerns about it being able to find food, and I'm considering moving it and the snail to a bucket with my filter running until after the upcoming move. Any thoughts on sizing?
That is an unusual situation with only one neon. I would say, though, I would do at least a 5-gallon bucket probably for it. It would probably be more comfortable in that than something smaller. And if you can go bigger, it's probably good. I see the situation in 20-gallon. You're wondering if it can find all the food. Huh. Have you seen it having difficulty finding food at this point? Or you're just wondering if that might happen? I would kind of test that out. Because I'm imagining the fish would be more comfortable in the 20-gallon. But since you're working on moving, I can understand wanting to, you know, take care of the tank and kind of break it down. If you can move the filter on it like you were saying, if your filter's running on it, that's not so bad. But I'd try at least a 5-gallon if you can go with that, if you need to move it to a bucket. Unfortunately, the Neon's not going to be extraordinarily comfortable without a couple of buddies. But even in a 5-gallon, I mean, you could put 2 more Neons in there if you had to. It kind of is a difficult situation, too, if you're thinking about what else you're going to do in the tank. If you want to maintain the Neons and get, you know, a larger group of Neons in the future, or if you're thinking about doing something entirely different, that, you know, that's kind of important, too. But, yeah, maybe try a 5-gallon bucket. That's probably reasonable. I'm kind of in the same situation right now, because I have a tank that has 5 gold barbs in it. It used to have 9 gold barbs in it. And, you know, I've had them for a number of years, but they're starting to, you know, disappear.
Reach the ends of their lifespan.
And the ones that I have now look really good. I think they might live for several more years, but I'm trying to decide what I want to do with that tank in the future, because, you know, they're not going to last forever. And what do you do when you only have 1 or 2 in there? You don't want them to be lonely, but if you want to try something else in the tank, you don't want to get a whole another group of the same fish. So maybe that's kind of the situation you're in too. It is a difficult situation in which to find oneself. I think that is part of the reason for MTS.
What's that?
Multiple tank syndrome.
Nah.
Because people think, oh, well, I want to do something with this tank, but what about these fish?
If you find yourself suffering from MTS, help can be found at your local fish store where they sell many tanks.
Yeah. You can get a tank for every corner of your house. But, yeah, I wish you well with the house stuff as you work on moving, and hopefully your Neon will be comfortable as you're doing all that. I do think it's, in a way, it's going to be a lot easier that you only have a Neon and a Nerite to have to worry about moving in that tank than if you were moving a lot of fish, which is very difficult. So, anyway, I hope it goes well. Do we have anything else to say today?
I found a baby picture of Tiki, and she was tiny. I was thinking maybe I'll put it up for, like, Throwback Thursday or something.
Yeah, she's, like, sitting on your finger, and she looks diminutive.
Mm-hmm. We should take another one of her in the same pose so you can see the difference now.
That's a really good idea. We should do that.
But she was very cute and little and tiny.
She still is cute, but not so little or so tiny. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think that's about it. So, until next time,
may the fish
be with you. Was it really that short? Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquaramax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquaramax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquaramax.com.